Authority Spotlight. I'm your host, Michelle Prince, founder and CEO of Performance Publishing Group, making a difference one story at a time. We'll be shining the light on successful founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and leaders that are getting results and making a difference. We'll talk about how they built their businesses, are creating movements, and leveraging the power of authority in their own lives. Be sure to stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Authority Spotlight, where we shine the light on business owners, leaders, founders, people that are telling their story, they're building businesses, and they're making a difference along the way. And our guest today is Mark Hiddleston, who is a holistic business strategist, podcast host of The Tao of Pizza, community builder and spiritual explorer with a master's degree in holistic health education. He's known for bridging the worlds of personal growth and practical performance. Mark has spent decades integrating Taoist philosophy, systems thinking, and human development principles in both his business and personal life. And as the founder of a successful material handling company, he brings a grounded real-world approach to concepts like energy management, emotional intelligence, and conscious leadership. In the Tao of Pizza book, Mark draws from a lifetime of lessons on baseball fields and boardrooms, spiritual retreats in his own backyard to invite readers into a more connected, purposeful way of being. His signature model, the whole person paradigm, has helped individuals and teams unlock their highest potential by realigning with core values and embracing their whole self. Mark lives in Napa, California with his wife and children, surrounded by trees, community, and rosemary bushes. Sounds amazing. He greets on his morning walks. He's passionate about coaching, storytelling, and building ecosystems where people and ideas thrive. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. I wish I had some rosemary here. I can actually kind of smell it.
I love rosemary bushes. That reminds me of my childhood, actually. My mom always planted and grew rosemary, and I love it. It makes me happy. That smell makes me happy.
Yeah. It's a funny, a lot of the people who've read the book, there's a story in there about, that was when I first started my master's degree, I was taking a class in holistic nutrition, and the instructor was talking about making friends with plants on her daily walk, and picking up these rosemary sprigs. And I was kind of coming, like I was getting my master's degree in holistic health instead of an MBA. Mm-hmm. So I went in there with kind of this regimented, and I'm like, man, I'm paying a lot of money to have somebody tell me about walking around the neighborhood, making friends with plants. But as she passed around a little sprig of rosemary and let us smell it and get our senses involved. And it's like, it still gives me chills right now to think of like, wow, I'm like, this is worth the money I'm paying. Because at first I'm thinking, why am I paying all this money to talk about this? But she went into all the uses. Rosemary is like a 1,000-year-old herb, and it just grows everywhere. I'm in California. I mean, they're everywhere.
And it's just the simplicity of it, right? It's like you said, you went in thinking it's going to be more complicated or more structured, but that's just life. And so much of what your message and your passion and everything that you're doing, you know, with your book and everything else, it's the simplicity of it all, which is what I love so much. So Mark, you and I met, gosh, now it's been about, how long ago was it when you and I first were connected by our dear friend, Dr. Jeremy Weiss?
Yeah, Dr. Jeremy.
A year and a half ago?
Probably a year. Yeah. Yeah. Because I've been telling, well, the joke, one of my running jokes is that I've been saying that my book took 8 years and I've been saying that for 2 years. So the time is kind of, it's a elastic scenario, but I think it has been 8 months. So don't trust me on the timing because everything seems like
I know.
6 months or 3 months.
Well, and
I know it's been more than 6 months.
Right. Well, all I know is I'm so glad that we were connected because you have such a powerful message. And I do want to talk about you and your book and the Tao of Pizza and all of that that goes along with that. But if you wouldn't mind for everybody listening, just give us a little background of what you do, how you got started, and how you even came to the idea of wanting to talk about pizza in a book.
That's a lot. So I'll start with, you know, my goal when I was a really young man, like probably 12, 13 years old, was to be a professional baseball player. And I got really serious, probably too serious for a 13-year-old or 12-year-old to be, but I was just really determined to train. And I looked at like, there's things you can do to get better, your body, your mind, and going to workshops and retreats. And I was injured in my senior year. Like I thought, I was 6'2", 200 pounds. Like it was exactly the model of what somebody wanted. So I'm like, I'm just gonna automatically be pro. Well, it's not that easy, I found, and I was a little naive, but I got hurt. And when I got hurt, I thought, I'm just gonna use the same principles and everything that I applied to training in baseball and everything, and using my mind and body in business. And I thought I can have a similar level of success by using the same principles. And that led me on a path to go to Sac State. And in those days, the career center was a bunch of three-ring binders. So I spent probably a month in the career center just flipping through binders. And one of my top reasons for finding a career was how much money I was going to make. I kind of laughed.
Didn't we all do that at
It's like,
that stage of life?
and it just so happened that the material handling industry, there was an ad, and it was, they were making about the same as it. I had a little bit of background in engineering. I ended up getting my degree in economics, and I'd got a lot of experience in sales. So I was thinking, how do I use all of these engineering, economics, sales, and material handling just popped up as this industry that was kind of construction. There were sales involved, it's engineering. And I just started doing research about that industry, actually found the company. I noticed by doing my homework that a lot of people wanted used equipment. And it was kind of a rare thing that you could get used equipment. Most people were just selling new because it was easier. So I went to the Yellow Pages, which people listening now might even know what Yellow Pages are.
Fingers through the
And the
wall.
Yellow Pages, I found a company that does used racking, and I went to work for them. But what got me interested in the, what was the last part of the question? How I got to the pizza.
Before we even get to the pizza part, so you went into business, you did, the material handling, and you've had a successful career in this for and tell us a little bit about what you do today. What is your core business? And
So our core business is selling rack, shelving, conveyor systems, mezzanines, carts, really what everyone needs for a warehouse or operation to optimize their efficiency. And my specialty is in the layout, design. And a lot of times when clients call us, they're looking for a certain product, but they're trying to solve a problem. So, a lot of times when somebody initially calls us for, we'll find something that they didn't even know existed. Like, for example, I have a large retailer that called us about like probably it was in January, and they'd seen online there was like a mobile aisle system. There's so many things you can do in shelving that it's like I'm too geeked out about it. But
It's your
yeah, but like the back of shoe stores, anywhere there's retail and space is a premium, they have these things where you can just have one aisle. So the shelves are all kind of crammed together, and then they can spread out, either automatically or manually. And they wanted something like that, but I looked at their facility and it was like 25 feet tall. And so I said, well, you guys could do like a two-tier part storage catwalk system, or it's called a rack supported platform, which is it's kind of like a little treehouse built out of shelving, but it has stairs. So instead of having the aisle mobile, we just made it two-story where you could climb up there and walk around. They're really cool looking. We should put a picture of one of those because it's one of the things, it's just one example of where somebody's looking for something and we find something else. And I think the mobile aisle system was like $200,000, and it was only going to use, you're still going to be short because you can get to the tall stuff. So our solution was like under 100,000, and it's using their full height of their
You're
building.
solving the main problem, like you're going in and seeing it. So that is a true consultant, true strategist, looking for the full opportunity. So, okay, so that makes a lot of sense. And I know your business, specialracks.com, correct? Is that that's
Yes.
correct? Okay, fantastic. So through this process of having your own business, doing what you do, et cetera, you decided that you wanted to write a book. So tell us about this book and where did this concept come from? And then I want to dive into the book itself.
Yeah, so the book was it's interesting. It was inspired by my master's degree because like I was saying, I was going to get an MBA right around 2000, 2001. I was really crushing it in my career. It was like 4 years out of college or 5 years, and things were going great. And then this first dot-com boom happened, and the economy really sucked. And I've always been a big proponent of education and everything. And I thought, man, I want to do something that no matter what the economy does, I can build value, that I'm going to have value. If whether the economy's up or down, I'll be able to. So I just wanted to upskill or increase my skill set. And I was thinking MBA, but something hit me. It was like a God shot or a moment where I just had this really strong voice that said, don't do an MBA, do something you're passionate about. And I've always been passionate about the mind-body problem. Like how does because your thinking affects your performance? Because you know, when you're an athlete, if you go out there and you're scared, you're gonna suck.
Yeah,
And it can be
absolutely.
scary.
Yeah.
And I was a pitcher, so a lot of what, you know, I always had the spotlight on me. So I did a lot to train myself to be calm under pressure and execute. So I thought, man, I should study the mind-body problem and go into that because it's a passion. It'll drive. I would do that in my spare time no matter what. So ended up going to JFK University, which is here in Northern California, just outside of San Francisco. And it was all these great ideas about holistic thinking and problem solving and just a different way of being, different ways of being. It's why I still have some of those old athlete. Like I think athletes are great. I've coached youth athletics. That's been one of my passions. But there's some pathologies to what I call it is I kind of developed, and this it's a product of my environment, but it was a win at all cost mindset of just like we're gonna train, we're gonna be harder, we're gonna do whatever it takes, and almost feeling like I had to be that way, you know, especially if the chips were down. Like I've got to be this strong athlete, whatever, buff,
Right.
bully if I have to. And so this was a whole new way of being. And I'm like, wow, this is available to me. This is an option. And then just practicing with the people. And then an interesting thing that happened when I told my boss I'm going to get my master's degree in holistic health, he was like, oh man, he's like, your sales are going to go down 40%. You're all this stuff. But what ended up happening when I got into school, my sales went through the roof. I mean, even though the economy was down, I think my sales went up 40%
Why
in
do
the
you
first
think that is?
year. You know, a lot of it is you know, in business, it's communication and relationships
It is.
and having that. Not a win at all costs attitude, more like a win-win or collaboration. I mean, everything in my business has been relationships. I mean, that's one thing I've learned is that I thought I was going to accomplish all these things or be a self-made man or anything. Well, the self-made man is a total, it's not true.
Right.
I mean, I just had people lifting me up, and I guess I was open to it,
Yeah.
open to you know, getting help, getting referrals. Like I was always asking people for new ideas or help. I want to say being more vulnerable. I don't even want to say vulnerable because I don't want to be vulnerable.
Right. Or how about we say authentic, more real,
Authentic.
authentic? Yes.
Just being authentic is like, hey, I don't know this stuff, but I'm a quick learner. And I think I was just able to engage with people on a deeper level. And then it meant more to me. I mean, everything about my life was more important. I valued time more, you know, how short life is. And the people, and really looking at how, you know, I've helped clients in their career where they've advanced. You know, they've had a project. Like a lot of times, one of the things we do is if somebody's closing down a facility or if they're moving, we'll buy the old equipment. And it's a really tough business to be in because people want to sell everything. So there's forklift chairs. I mean, we've had office equipment, lockers. Like, what are we going to do with all this stuff? Not throw it away. But you know, I had one client that we did a project for them in Salt Lake City, and they kind of had somebody drop the ball. We stepped in for them, got them out of there on time. So really, it didn't really save his job because they were closing that down. But he looked at it as like, wow, these guys came in and helped us get out of here on time when we were in trouble. So he did another facility in Hebron, Kentucky. They brought us with, and it was just those relationships of somebody who knows, like I can call this guy,
Yeah,
and
there's a
he's got
trust.
connections that he could solve all of our problems. You know, we can solve hard problems just because, not that I'm great or anything, but I've got all these people around me who are amazing.
You know, everything you're talking about right now just reminds me of Zig Ziglar's most famous quote, which is, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. And that's the truth. Like when you go from, I think you said it, like from the me, it's all about me, to more we, and that collaborative. People, we know it. We can sense. We can sense when somebody has their best interests at heart or our best interests at heart. And so I think that's a great message, Mark, because it is a shift in thinking, right? And we do, a lot of us do come from that, high achiever, gotta make it number one, hit, but at the end of the day, it's a shift in the way we think about ourselves and other people. And so I really love that. That's really, really awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I'll tell one on myself because, there's always the theory. That's one of the hard things about writing a book too, and writing this book. It's like this is the ideal, or this is the ideal way to be. But being human, I still find myself in those win at all cost moments. I took this class called, I had to coach lacrosse. I don't know anything about lacrosse, but my son was playing lacrosse and they needed an assistant coach. And I was like, I'll chase a ball around and do crowd control. But you had to get a Positive Coaching Alliance certification. And there were all these things, and the win at all cost was what they compared it to, as a coach. And I'm a no participation trophies guy. It's like, but at the I was taking this class and I was just joking. I go, there's a Positive Coaching Alliance class. I go, I'm gonna start a win at all cost class. But I did it, and when I learned it, but it's something for me, I think. Now I'm in my 50s, owning that win at all cost and doing it the right way and being collaborative. I'm not gonna say it's always gonna be a challenge, because I'm always hoping one day I'll just wake up and be this there.
Luck with that. We're all on the same journey, right? And we're always evolving. And I really want to dive into the book because of pizza. I mean, there's so much in it. I mean, there's so many different ideas and stories and metaphors and, just so many things about that can be applied to really life, leadership, business, anything, right? And a owner of a company to a student could really benefit from it. So tell us a little bit about what exactly is the book about. And but first, before you tell us what it's about, what on earth, where did you come up with the title, The Tao of Pizza or Tao of Pizza?
So that is a great question, and I probably came up with it way too earlier than I should have. But I was working on outline, working on writing, and it's so one of the things, the great Tao, I don't want to go too much into Taoism, but one of the definitions of the Tao is it can't be put into words. And I was thinking all this stuff I'm trying to explain, like the difference between a win at all cost or a collaborative mindset. Is it's tough to put in words, like the rosemary thing. If you just tell until you really smell rosemary and pass it around, it's difficult to explain. And so what I was trying to come up with is how do we, because the whole thing is how do we look at things from a different perspective? And so one perspective is this wholeness where everything is connected to everything, and then the great Tao, like we're all Tao, everything is Tao, trees, the water, the earth, it's really all just one thing. And then, but we separate it out. And so the one thing is the Tao, and then the separating out is the pizza, because you have to look at life. There's a pizza. And so there's a lot of one of the my favorite, the Zig Ziglar life wheel is something I've always used. And there's way different ways I've done it. Like you could score yourself on a 1 to 10 and then draw a little line. So you've got this thing where your family life, your business life, social, spiritual. So I'd worked a lot of that, and it kind of looks like a pizza. And I was like, yeah, okay, to divide these things out, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a coach in the community, I'm a leader in business industry, I'm all these different things, but I'm really just one thing. And so the other thing is, before I even came up with the name, I came up with this idea that I want it to be something spiritual and something with food. So like the brainstorming, like Spirit Taco got thrown out. But that was one of the options. And so there's another, this is an important thing. I'm glad you asked me. I just thought of this. So I took the holistic health. When I left, there were a lot of practices that I kept. I mean, I graduated in 2007, but I had this personal practice that I kept going. And a lot of the principles that I was doing, my morning rituals, the way I look at things, the way I manage my energy, when I started doing research for the book, I'm like, wait a minute, these are all Taoist principles, like to be like water, or to the yin and the yang. I mean, and it's really yin and yang. I hate to say yang because then it makes you sound like, because everyone says yin and yang. But those concepts that, one of the things I love is a lot of sayings that people are really passionate about could mean two things. Like one of the things I love to say is, I don't believe in coincidences. Well, that could mean I think that everything happens for a reason, or I don't think everything happens because, like, I don't believe in coincidences. Well, there's two ways.
To look at that.
Yeah, and they kind of contain each other, and there's a lot of axioms or things that will be what people will say. But the reason I chose Tao, and everyone's glad I didn't choose Spirit Taco, but I chose Tao because I'd been practicing all these things, but I didn't even know that it was called that.
I
And
know.
but it all just started lining up. A lot of the things I learned were based in the practice of Aikido. That's really supported by it's a Taoist philosophy. And then the key thing about Aikido, it's a martial art of how to fight, but the main tenet behind Aikido is that you protect your attacker as you're defending yourself. These give me chills because I've never heard of anything like
Yeah, so
that
true.
you're trying to fight in a way to where you end it, but you're protecting your attacker, and that's part of the philosophy. So
I love it.
just the people I had in my life, and I'm like, oh, she was a Taoist. She never called it. She never said, hey, we're practicing Taoism. But we
Right.
just had these things that we did in communication, in meditation, and that was just there was this kind of Taoist through line that I'm looking back 20 years later and going, oh,
Wow.
that was Taoist. Because I've been a Christian since I was 18, and really I don't talk a lot about my testimony of faith and everything, but that has been my main spiritual practice, but I've been doing it in a Taoist way.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sitting here kind of giggling, but also embarrassed of myself. I've been saying it wrong throughout this whole podcast. I've been saying Tao, not Dao. And I even before we started this podcast, I was thinking, I think it's Dao, but it's spelled with a T. So I'm going to say Tao. So anyway, I know that now that I have been saying that wrong. And you know what? I'm owning that, right? But
Yeah.
it kind of goes along with what you're talking about, though, because really, like with everything, you can see things two different ways. So I'm just gonna,
Well, I'll give
if I
you a
knew what I
lot
was doing.
of. Yeah, one of my favorite lines is I'm not a huge Tim Ferriss fan, but I've read all of his books. I didn't read 4-Hour Workweek, but I read 4-Hour Body, and I've seen a lot of talks. I do really like Tim. But he says Tao. I mean, he's got a few things that he's got a. There's a podcast old that he did the Tao of Seneca. It's actually really good if you want to put in the show notes, because he took something to compare kind of Stoicism, because I think Seneca was a Stoicist. I'm not a super, but he was like the Tao, but he called it the Tao. And so people make that mistake. And one of my inspirations is Solala. I don't want to make so his name is Solala, and he's very particular about how you pronounce it. He's written a lot of books on Taoism, and he's super particular about how you pronounce things.
Yes,
And
I
I'm
like that.
not. I love like yin and yang. I mean, it's really yang, but is it really yang? Because most people say yang. And my mom, who she was one of the first people to read my book, and she wouldn't leave me a review until she finished
I remember.
it. She calls it Tao. And so I'm not going to correct my mom on that.
Right.
I'm not going
Tomato,
to.
tomato, potato, potato, right? Like whatever it is. But I want to respect the fact that it is Tao. And but the concepts and the benefit of it doesn't matter, right? It really doesn't. It's more the just this practice of, I think you said it, it's just being, right? And embracing things. And I thought it, and I don't want to use the word simple because there's a lot to it, but it is also just the simplicity of it all, right? And how it's an accessible piece that we can be living with. Anybody can.
Yeah,
What
and it can
are,
make
so for those of you, or for those who haven't read the book yet, which I highly recommend getting, and just go to taoofpizza.com, and that is T-A-O of pizza.com. But what are three or four things, like what are some of the main takeaways that someone's going to get when they read this book, or anything that you want to share to kind of give us a little bit of a taste of this pizza?
So I provided a lot of opportunities, especially in the first four chapters, to look at things from a different perspective, because I think so many opportunities. There's this idea of we know, what we know we don't know, but there's this huge part of the pie. There's another pizza. What we don't know, we don't know,
Right.
is the biggest slice of the pie. And so anytime we can look at things from a different perspective, like I think I have the first four chapters are lenses, because I think I love the word lens of a good look. So I have a spiritual lens, emotional lens, a mental lens, because these are all different ways that are gifts that we can bring our gifts to light or see things in a certain way. And then the fourth chapter is the action lens, which really, I didn't put this quote in my book because I think it's overused and under-delivered, but be, you know, Gandhi, the be the change you want to see.
Oh, yeah.
And so I tried to create something that could help people generate that result in their life of just being, what I like to say is being a resource. I want to be a resource to where I'm not trying to do something, or I just am. I am the decision to be compassionate and look for win-win. Like I am. It's kind of a weird way to use language, but if you are something, people could just tell. You don't even need to say something. They might not get it. But you know, be a place, be a space where I'm not always giving advice. If somebody comes to me with a problem, I want to be someone who could just listen and not say anything. I mean, sometimes that's the hardest action of all, is just to listen and be present. I mean, and then there's some conversations that are really difficult. It's tough to stay present in conversations where it gets, and that's another reason that there's more success in business, is that a lot of times things have to get uncomfortable to get going. And so
True.
if you can be comfortable in those spaces and develop yourself in a holistic way. I mean, that was my other thing. Other than the lenses, I think we all have gifts that we can develop. Self-awareness is really the one that is the key to all of them. I'd tell you between whether sense of humor should be first or second, but probably the sensation of your six senses is what I call something, but just like what it feels like, which is hard to describe, but that's a gift. If you have a gut feeling or something makes you uncomfortable or something makes you feel great, you're doing something like, wow, why am I so into this? But just to be in tune with that. The other is sense of humor, because anytime you try to go deeper, it's kind of funny. And like the book, it is meant to be a lot of fun because, again, I'm not an expert. One of the reasons I feel I can write a book is I've messed this stuff up more than anyone. And especially now, even now that it's published, that the things I'm up against are, it's kind of a new level, right? And but it's like I asked for this. I asked for more business opportunities. I asked for more territory. So, well, this is what that looks like. And so how do you have peace with that and be with it? So you got to have a sense of humor and then imagination. I mean, imagination is so huge. If we can find ways, like the way you creatively solve problems and get together and collaborate is using your imagination. So that's another gift.
Love
An
it.
inner voice, which is something I've just talked a little bit about, but I think I've read, especially being a writer, the inner critic comes up.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
yeah, the same imposter syndrome, I'm not good enough. Or, I mean, well, that's a social script. That's not you. And so your inner voice is something you know, it's a gift that you have. And so that's in the book of how you develop that inner voice where you know, like, okay, this is me. This is coming from a place like the voice that told me to study holistic health instead of getting an MBA. You know, maybe my net worth is half of what it should be or what it would be as an MBA, but who knows? Maybe it's more or less, but definitely my peace level
Yes.
is higher. And then the last one is choice. And choice I put last just because choice happens in all those other containers. Choice happens in the container of self-awareness, what you
Yes.
feel like physically, and like some choices are just knee-jerk reactions, like, oh, I'm scared. I guess I'm going back to win at all cost mode.
Yeah.
I didn't need it. But to have the inner voice and all those other things, then you actually are making a choice. And so it makes your choice more powerful. So those are the six gifts. And so four different lenses, six gifts, and then just the stories of how that's played out in my life. The amazing solutions I've seen that wouldn't have happened on their own if it wasn't for these amazing people who surrounded me, uplifted me. That was the other big thing about the book, is like, hey, I didn't do this on my own. So I wanted to highlight some of the people and organizations that really lifted my life up in ways I had no idea. And we had no idea at the time. It's humbling. And so that's kind of what the last part of the book is about, is just who are these people? What are these stories? You know, what were these changes in perspective that I'm just really grateful that I'm not the 18-year-old win at all cost
Right. We're a work in
solver.
progress, right? You just
Yeah.
moments of that. Well, I really do. First of all, I'm so excited for you, and I think the book has so much. For those of you listening, highly recommend you get it right away. It's an easy read, but it's this recipe, and I know we're playing off of the whole pizza analogy, grab a slice, but really it is. It's a recipe for better living, more peaceful living, really tuning into your gifts and your getting, you said the word in tune a few times, intuition, in tune, like really just getting in tune to who you are. And so anyway, there's so many great stories in there. So I'm excited for you. Is there one last thing before we wrap up? Is there anything, one last piece of advice for people living or people living, people listening? Hopefully you're living too, living with a great purpose. But no, give us something to one last piece or a nugget, something that we can go take this into the rest of our day this week, something that we can apply to our life as it relates to the Tao of pizza.
So the thing that's just coming up for me is my dad, and I did put this in the but one of the things my dad told me a few years before he passed away is that the purpose of life is to find your gifts, and the meaning of life is to use those gifts to serve other people. And I think this book is an invitation and for people to engage with that. And it's something that's resonated with a lot of people. I've had a lot of people call me and say, "Hey, I've thought about simple, something similar to this, that like our real purpose and meaning is just to find ways to use what we're good at and
Right.
help some other community or business or crowd." And I think that philosophy or that approach can bring a lot of healing to business, personal, family, community, then that's really the message. Yeah.
Oh, that is
And I think
so
you can have some fun with it with my book too, because I did
good.
try to inject a certain amount of humor to make it fun.
Oh, it's so good. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. I cannot wait to see all the great things that are going to continue to happen with the book, with you. So thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. The pleasure is all mine. I've only done a few of these, and you asked some great questions. I appreciate your interest, your support, and this has been a great time. Thank you.
You are so welcome. All right, everyone, that is it for the Power of Authority Spotlight. But before we go, just a couple things. Something Mark said that just really resonated with me, and I want you to take this with you as you go too. And that's the whole point of being. And I was thinking as he was talking, we are human beings. We are not human doings. We are not human, planners. We are human beings. And so just that reminder that just be, we are created exactly the way we're supposed to be, and to fully embrace who you are, your gifts, your talents, overcoming that imposter syndrome, which we all have. But I just really love it. I highly recommend getting in touch with Mark, reading his book. Definitely find him on LinkedIn, Mark Fittleson. And then the book, of course, is taoofpizza.com, TAO of pizza.com. So that's it for the show. We'll see you next time on the Power of Authority Spotlight. Bye, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the Power of Authority Spotlight. If you are a successful founder, entrepreneur, business owner, or leader that's getting results and making a difference, and you'd like to be on this program, please visit performancepublishinggroup.com/podcast to apply. That's performancepublishinggroup.com/podcast. Also, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #ThePowerOfAuthorityspotlight. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our websites, performancepublishinggroup.com or michelleprince.com, and follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.